Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg, and this is Side Note,
a podcast where every episode we chat about life and what's stumping us right now.
And then we research and splice in all the science and mind-blowing shiznit throughout so you are entertained while simultaneously learning. Our side notes are going to be presented by myself, Mitch, and our amazing producer, Rachel.
Hi, guys.
Today, we're going to talk about our stories from a recent all-inclusive trip and give you the science behind them. We're going to take a deep dive look at the environmental and economic impact of all-inclusives and then have a kind of heated debate about our opinions of this type of vacation. So let's get into it. Hello, tanned person.
Oh, thank you. I have a new tan. It's my new skin.
You tan so well. And, it's insane.
Hello, burnt person.
Okay. Oh, God, I know. I am burnt. I'm always red, though. I'm red from everything.
You're
running.
Naturally red.
I know. I get red
okay,
all
you're
the
actually,
time.
You're not that burnt, but when we were just away. We just came back from a vacation in Mexico, and we thought we'd talk
about all-inclusive vacation.
Yeah, it was our first all-inclusive ever in life. Yeah?
Yes.
It was your first?
It was my first. I definitely thought you had done it before, but apparently you haven't because you were good at it.
No. It's just in my genes. You see?
No, you said you went to Florida all the time and laid by a pool.
Yeah, that's true. My family used to go down to Florida every year. We'd drive down from Canada, from where I live, so it'd be like 24-hour drive. It was always like an event. And then we had like a timeshare there for a week of the year.
So you would sit by the pool, lay in the sun.
Pool. It wouldn't be like all-inclusive, so you wouldn't get like free food or free drinks, but it was the lifestyle.
But you were kids, you'd be like, Mom, I want my juice box and get
me a
hamburger.
You're right. Oh my God, I had all-inclusive experience my whole life because I didn't pay for anything.
Yeah,
when you're a kid,
true.
You're literally like, get me a drink, get me a juice.
Everything's all-inclusive when you're a kid.
Yeah. Plus, we were in a sunny place with a beach and a pool. So, yes, I grew up kind of like liking and appreciating that lifestyle as a way to relax.
And you have a pool in your backyard, aka you've got a sweet life. Florida every year, pool in your backyard.
Yes, no, I've definitely grown up very lucky. But yeah, that led to it. I've always wanted to do an all-inclusive just because I was so curious. But I feel like you've always been hesitant.
Yeah. No, I've never gone to an all-inclusive. I've never thought of it as something I'd want to do. When I travel, I'm obsessed with like new experiences and like food. And obviously there's food at an all-inclusive, but like going to different restaurants.
And so now you see that like mostly our relationship, I'm catering to you.
Well, I assume you were enjoying
joking,
those things, too. Obviously enjoyed going to an all-inclusive, but it was effing weirder than I thought. It was a lot weirder than I thought.
Why?
Well, I didn't...
What did you think it was going
to
be?
I didn't know you had to, like, make, like, vacation friends. That's what I was weirded
right.
out about.
Yeah.
It was like, I did not sign up for camp. I did not come here to chat
and
with
like
Kathy.
And, like, get pressure from other, like, people to be like, well, you don't have a drink yet? It's 11.
Yeah.
And
I was like, honestly,
God.
Like, Todd from Iowa, like, don't peer pressure me right now. Like, I'm not
true.
Into this. I
but,
didn't pay for this.
But that happens, like, on regular trips as
not
well.
Not if you are just hanging out with people who are chill.
No, but when you're young, especially, like, we used to travel in hostels.
Yeah,
and I
that's
feel like
true.
The culture of hostels
yeah, yeah,
is
exactly
here's the bar,
worse.
Let's go party. If you're not partying, aren't you kind of a loser? You know, that's what I feel like. It's some hostels, definitely not everywhere we've been, but I've felt that pressure elsewhere. Peer pressure. It's something we've all faced in our lives, and it can come in two basic forms. First, you have explicit peer pressure, which is when somebody else intentionally pressures you or makes fun of you for not doing something, like drinking at an all-inclusive in our case, and as a result, you decide to change what you're doing. We order more drinks over and over. But there's also implicit peer pressure, which focuses more on your desire to fit in and do things that may make you feel accepted. So in our case, even if nobody made a comment about drinking, we may feel pressure to always have a drink in our hand or risk looking lame or boring, as alcoholic drinks act as a form of status in this environment. But it turns out that some people are much more susceptible. For example, people with small social circles are more likely to do what their friends say to do because they want to protect their limited friendships. On the other hand, if you have lots of friends, you are less likely to be pressured. Except, one interesting finding suggests that the most popular kids are also highly susceptible to influence because they may worry about protecting their status. So the popular and not so popular kids have the hardest time dealing with peer pressure.
I'm not super upset with the pressure to drink. What was weird to me was that you're in close quarters. You have, I mean, especially, I don't know how all inclusives work, but this one was a little bit fancier.
We were like, let's go somewhere fancy. It wasn't actually so fancy, but it was nice.
It wasn't a super cheap all inclusive. We only went for 4 nights.
Yeah.
But okay, my point is that it was like, there's dinner, there's the cocktails at 6, there's everyone by the pool, and you have to like be pretty close to the people next to you. And it's sort of like an unspoken rule that you chat. If you don't chat, then everyone kind of looks they're probably like, oh, they're French. It's like, no, we are just normal Canadians. Like, I feel like people were like thinking of us as like snobby, when really it's like, I just want to finish my book, read my margarita, and I really don't want to talk to
you. Read my margarita.
It was really detailed. I was looking at all the pulp. I was reading it really closely. No, but you know what I mean? I was like, I don't want to waste my time talking to Kathy from Iowa. Like, she was great.
No shade to Iowa. I'm sure there's people like from
no,
Iowa.
No, it's actually
listening.
No shade to Iowa. Just that like everyone was right. From Iowa. Like when they get drunk, they'd be like, Iowa senators in the house.
And it was a mix, like the all inclusive, because it was adults only, it was also like aged up a lot, I think.
It made me feel real. It made me feel like my skin was tight. My butt was tight, because I was like, things were loose in weird places that I'm like, this. It was nice to know what's like our future holds. Obviously, all aspects of our bodies are aging, but the skin is the largest and most visible organ. We can see our skin get wrinkles, but we can't see the impact of aging on something like our liver because it's literally inside our bodies. We just can't see it. This is why we were able to judge these people's aging process so easily, because we could see their drooping, wrinkly skin. The epidermis is a layer of skin that we can see. That's why people say that joke, like, your epidermis is showing. The dermis is below that layer and is not visible. But these two layers are bonded by collagen. And as we age, this bond is weakened and we get wrinkles and we start to have saggy skin. Some scientists say that the collagen content per unit area of skin surface declines 1% per year. Elastin is another molecule that we lose with age, leading to a decrease in the elasticity of our skin. There are many factors that affect this, but one main one is sun exposure. UV radiation from the sun breaks down your collagen, it breaks down your elastin, so Kathy, get out of the frickin' sun, okay? Listen up, people, because there are some strategies to prevent the image of your skin aging. And the main ones are sun avoidance, sun protection, and using sunscreen. So this all-inclusive experience went quite against the ability of trying to make our skin continue to look young. Additionally, studies show that vitamin C, B3, and E are good to look for in a facial regimen for a variety of scientific reasons. But look for those components in the skin products when you're looking to spend your moolah on that type of thing. That's what I mean. It was like a great vacation, but I was like, it wasn't like one of those vacations where I'm like, I'm so glad I did this when I was young, because this will be really challenging to do when I'm older, like going to India. It's like,
right.
When I'm older, I can easily come back here. There were literally people who were like, every day at 6 o'clock, they would lie on their thing in the sun with their sunglasses and their mouths open, and they would snore for like an hour. Like, you'd just be like, okay, I'm going to go get a pina colada. Like, do you want anything?
Alive?
Yeah. Well, I was like, I know you're alive because you're snoring, but I'm like, maybe you want to get out of the sun because you look like leather. And I'm like, I can't believe this is just like what you want to do. But
to be honest, those are my people.
I know. That's what I mean. I feel bad. I feel like this whole time you're looking at me like,
there
what
was
are
a
you
moment
saying?
When I was like, oh, it would be really fun to be at like a young, maybe even like a queer all inclusive where it was like lots of younger gay guys, because like we'd be able to like make friends. But I also had a moment where I was just like, I love that most of these people just want to do nothing and are just content, and there's no pressure to, like, you know, go out and party, but, like, there's just casual drinking by the pool. Like, I definitely was, like, part of me was very happy that I got there, and I was like, oh, six-year-olds are, like, my vibe.
No, that's true. There, I actually felt that, too. Like, there was no stress to leave, no stress to explore the culture of Mexico, no stress to really learn anything. Like, it was so close to the airport. It was disgusting. It was literally, like, we got off a plane, we walked, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, like, I had no idea what country I was in.
I know, like, that is a weird part about all inclusives. Like, you kind of feel like you're still at home, just in nicer weather. Like, it could be America, it could be Canada, because most of the clients,
everyone there is American or
are
Canadian,
American or Canadian, and they treat you like they all speak English to you. Like, everything around you is in English.
Yeah, I would say hasta bien. Like, that's the only thing I would say over and over. And, like, every time the staff would be like, oh, wow, your Spanish is amazing. I'm like, no, I literally know one phrase and I'm just trying to say it, because no one would even try and speak Spanish.
Yeah. I have a weird story that I don't know if I, like, should tell, but, like, something weird happened to me there.
And oh, yeah.
I don't know, like, if it's inappropriate. I mean, it was inappropriate from other people, but, like, we weren't at a gay all-inclusive.
No,
like, in fact,
I would say it was very strange.
Maybe right before we left, one other young gay couple came. I think besides that, we were the only gay people.
I think there was a lesbian couple, too.
Oh,
this
true.
Is all
yeah.
speculation, though. No.
True. We don't
no
know.
Proof. We are.
But based on everyone else, I mean. Like, the other clientele were, like
it was, like, the straightest place I've probably, like, been since I've gone to camp.
Yeah. But I had multiple older men, one of which I'm sure was there with his wife, because I heard her one time say, my husband, do some weird and inappropriate things. Not like
they
to
hit on
me,
you.
They hit on me and made me not, like, you know, at first you're like, oh, I got hit on. But then you're like, this is kind of creepy and weird, because Puerto Vallarta is known
also,
a little bit as
there
a
were
gay.
Like, there were still attractive older men. I mean, it was not that. Remember, we were like, I wish it was, like, the attractive one that hit on.
You know, then I'd be like
we had crushes. It was just not the crushes.
Yeah, and I was just like, I don't know. It made me feel sort of weird. And mostly, it wouldn't be as big a deal if it was, like, a single older gay man. Like, no problem with that. Or if we were at a gay resort. But it mostly felt especially weird because the one guy who was with his wife when we were in the bathroom together was, like, kind of hitting on me and being weird, and I feel like he exposed himself to me, and I was just like, it was just a lot to deal with. And I mean, I don't know how to feel about that. It put an image on my all-inclusive experience that definitely was weird.
Yeah, no, and I think it was, like, obviously that's inappropriate and awful, and I think that there's no excuse for that. And them being straight, I guess, makes it a little bit weirder. It shouldn't. It's just an inappropriate thing to do regardless of whether you're straight or not.
Yeah.
But it was also just confusing because they weren't giving off vibes outside of that. Like, the one other guy, there was another guy who hit on you who was just like, wait, he was wasted.
He was just
all
wasted.
The time.
I felt less weird about that because it also was him just.
He was
being
the next.
Drunk
thing, he was like, "Oh, I'm Irish." I'm like, "Is that what all Irish guys do?" Like, I'm pretty sure that's not what all Irish guys do.
True.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't think that. I don't know. It's a hard thing. It's inappropriate for them to do those things to you and make you feel uncomfortable. But it's not inappropriate for people to be closeted. They're in a different generation.
Yeah, I had a moment where, like, I was like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, I need to tell his wife that he's cheating on her or something like that. But then I was like, I don't know.
You don't know
so
what
bad.
Kind of life
that's
they
true.
Live. They might know. It
they
might
could
be
open.
Unspoken.
Maybe
yeah.
They, yeah, maybe they're married, but just
maybe
best
they're
friends.
Bi. Like,
yeah.
It's not.
And I didn't want to get involved in that. But and also, maybe he is closeted, and that's really sad. And I didn't want to, like, deal with that.
It's also not necessarily even really sad.
No,
you know what I mean? Like,
be.
You don't understand the rules and the way that they've accepted their life. What's inappropriate is that they made you feel uncomfortable.
Whether the man who hit on Mitch is in an open relationship with his wife or not, it makes you wonder if some places are more likely vacation destinations for those who are in the closet. And it turns out that a poll of closeted men's favorite vacation destinations actually exists. This poll was run in 2014 by the website mythtravel.com. Okay, maybe not the most scientific or academic research survey, but there is evidence to say that people are more honest online when they are actually surveyed compared to when in the lab. So you be the judge. The site polled 5,000 men seeking male travel companions, and upon asking if they were in the closet, 41% were surveyed for the top destinations for discreet travel. And it turns out that Puerto Vallarta was ranked number 4. Interesting. But what was ranked number 1? Chicago. the Windy City is indeed gay-friendly, but it's also a hub for business, making it a much more plausible destination if you're keeping a secret. And it's a lot easier to say, hey, baby, I gotta go to Chicago again for business, than, hey, sweetie, I gotta go to Fire Island again and review those accounts with Jim. What all the top destinations had in common was they were gay-friendly destinations, but they also catered to hetero audiences.
No matter what, that was
but
weird.
Know what I was thinking? I was like, Puerto Vallarta is really gay. Like, we went out one night, and it was like, there's a huge gay scene there. I'm like, I wonder if, I mean, again, I'm speculating. I don't know these people's lives, but it's like maybe they go to Puerto Vallarta assuming everyone's gay.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, obviously we were, because like, our bathing suits were short. I don't know.
We stood out for sure. I mean, also just as young people, I think we stood out with
Everyone was just immediately like, yeah, they knew that we were the gay ones. I don't know. I'm just like, maybe people expect when you're in Puerto Vallarta that that's just what you do. Although I wouldn't necessarily say that because it felt like everyone was like, again, an army man from Ohio. Iowa. Are those different places?
Yes. Yeah, it made me realize, like, I don't know American geography. Every time they'd say a place, they'd be like, oh, cool. I don't know.
And then they'd be like, we border Canada. We're Wisconsin. Or I don't know.
No, that was North Dakota, which I actually knew where that one was.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Okay, where is it? Which province has a border?
Like, I don't know which province.
A street?
No, I was going to say it's in the center of America at the north. Just above South Dakota.
You really know American geography.
I actually was like, I don't know my Canadian geography well enough to know
like
what it falls under. I think it's maybe under Alberta or a mix of Saskatchewan and Alberta.
Okay, well, I hope you're right. Because if not, that'd be embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. Okay, we're going to cut this out if it's not right. But okay, well, what was your experience? Like, what did you enjoy most? But also, what did you not like?
So, okay, I love to do things. I was reading a book while I was there. It was interesting. It was about a science. I read so many science books, and eventually, you're like, they're just saying dopamine over and over and over. I realized that there's different. It was like about neurons and personalities. I'm like, I think I'm definitely a thrill seeker when it comes to like relaxing or what I choose to do. So, I think that part for me was definitely missing from this trip. But that was also exciting because the thrill seeking is uncomfortable. Going to different cultures in different countries can be stressful, and I'm totally aware of that. And the fact that I kind of was just like, oh, that's not even an option here, it means I got to finish a book. Mm-hmm. It means I really got to, like, you know, get a massage, like, think about my stand-up, like, do lots of... I was still doing lots of things in my head, but things that I, like, don't usually feel like it's easy to find time to do. I've never read a book in a day, but I read a book in one day. And it was like... Yeah. That was really fun. I love reading, and I sometimes just can't find the time. It was nice to not have to worry about doing anything, but I would say that, yeah, there was just, like, I had to constantly just, like, not think critically about where I was. I always felt a little bad about being in Mexico. I think tourism is a really important industry financially for countries, obviously. Like, I would never want to be like, don't stop going there, because there's a whole industry gone, but it's very exploitative, like, it was hard for me to, like, not feel like I was a part of something that was weird. Like, it was sort of like a white person showing up and then having the ability to have the expectations that I did. If I really started to think about it, it made me feel like
But
sick.
Doesn't that happen in a lot of countries anyway that aren't all-inclusives? I think this is what I'm really excited to look into in our research, is that sort of impact, the behind the scenes. Is it hyper-exploitative, or is it actually like an economic opportunity, and are those people being paid good wages? Those are the things that I don't know.
Yeah. No, tourism in itself.
It can be, but yeah, it's such a catch-22 where it's like, but you don't want to take that away, obviously. Okay, well, before we get into our divided opinions, let's take a quick little break, and when we come back, Greg is going to sit down with our producer Rachel and talk about the actual impact that all-inclusives have on their host countries and the world. We'll be right back. Hey friends, so since we don't have any actual commercials yet, we just want to take this minute to remind you to please rate and like or comment on our podcast on iTunes or whatever app you're using. You know, it means a lot to us and it gives us good feedback, but it also apparently helps it be featured and, you know, get a little cred out in the world there. And for you, you know, you could also become that friend who's just like repping us to your friends and being that person who knows all like the hippest, coolest up and coming stuff. And you're like, I know this like a really awesome new podcast called Side Note Podcast. You should check it out. And everyone's going to be like, how did you know about that on like episode 3? And you're going to be like, because I'm awesome. So if you do that, we'll love you forever. We appreciate it. Honestly, thank you guys so much for listening. And let's get back to it. Bye.
Welcome back to Side Note. So we had our producer, Rachel, take a deep dive into the impact of all-inclusives, and I'm going to be asking her about my time there and, you know, really if I should feel as bad as I do. So, Rachel, hello.
Hello.
How are you feeling? Feeling good?
Feeling good.
Okay, cool. So thank you for doing all this research. And just off the bat, should I feel really bad? Are all-inclusives, like, in any way good?
Okay, so like so many things, it's a little bit complicated. There are good components, there are bad components. But international travel on its own can be huge for local economies. And as of 2016, over 1,000 million people traveled internationally.
1,000 million?
A billion people will internationally travel a year.
1 million people internationally traveling, not necessarily all inclusive, just traveling in general.
Yeah,
oh
yeah,
my God,
yeah.
Everyone's so cultured and rich.
Yeah, true. So the potential for local communities is huge for both the traveler and the host community. And the host communities benefit from tourism, employment, and often offer jobs to people who often are excluded from those from the labor market. So that includes women, younger people, and people from rural areas. So tourism can also stimulate the economy and help raise a general standard of living.
Okay, so it means like people who may be in a labor market in certain countries, like let's say, I don't know, like the Dominican Republic, for example, could get jobs in a hotel.
Right.
And that would just be a job that maybe wouldn't exist for them in the first place.
Totally.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense when I look at people who are working at all-inclusives. That's still a job for them.
Right.
That wouldn't exist if that wasn't there. Okay.
Absolutely.
So then, am I all wrong? Is it all... There has to be something. It just feels like there's is there something wrong with all-inclusives?
Well, for sure. So
again, big question.
Yeah, big
question.
Give me
your goods.
You are right in thinking that there might be something a little insidious, because part of the reason that all-inclusives are so appealing is because they are affordable. You pay all that money up front, so there's no kind of like hidden fees. You know what you're getting. They have a whole like leave your wallet at home kind of thing. So the cost per hotel room is actually incredibly low, which means all-inclusives operate at really tight margins. So that means the people at the bottom of the supply chain, mostly the staff, are the ones who get squeezed and suffer. So it's true that within all hotels, all staff usually are experiencing low wages and suffer from unfair working conditions.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in general?
Hotels? In general.
Regardless of whether it's a hotel in maybe downtown Toronto or LA versus like, I don't know, the Dominican Republic all-inclusive hotel.
Yeah, in general.
Hotels are not the best for the people who are actually working there.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense, I guess.
Everyone who's working in a hotel might not be working in the best conditions, but people who work in all-inclusives have even worse conditions. So that includes short-term contracts, less training, less job security, and longer working hours. And I have a question for you, Greg. Did you tip while you were on holiday?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, so... Oh my God, I like don't even want to say this in public, but we didn't tip because we didn't get money out. And I'm like, not to like throw Mitch under the bus or anything, but I was like, Mitch, I think we should tip. He was like, I don't think we necessarily need to tip. We literally didn't go to get an... I remember when the one night we went out, I was like, we need to go to an ATM because I felt like we should be tipping. No one was tipping, but I was just like, come on. Like, I was not necessarily knowing that what I know now, which is that the conditions weren't that great. I just thought we could give these people American money, which is what they were taking. But no, we... gave them all the American money that we have, but I thought that we should have tipped more. Should we have tipped? Oh my God. Should we have tipped?
I mean, you are not doing anything that's uncommon, because people who work at all-inclusives in general get less tips than people who work at normal hotels.
Because everyone's like, I already paid everything.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. The advertisers leave your wallet at home.
Yeah.
So you feel like you've paid for everything, including immediate and constant service. So there's also the components of running the resort. So additionally, to keep costs low, think of all the food you ate. It was probably mostly buffet. Was it buffet?
Well, so no big deal. It wasn't buffet. Actually, that was... Oh my God, again, getting back into my all-inclusive space, sometimes I was like, I just want to go get a bucket of fries. But you did have to order it.
Okay.
It was like, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't buffet style, but okay. It was like you ordered it and someone would literally just bring it to you. Oh my gosh, I don't know where it came from, but it
okay.
was delicious.
So for the rest of us plebs who don't go to a 4-star diamond resort.
No, it was actually called Diamond Resort.
is often buffet style. So you're bringing out tons and tons of food. You're throwing a lot of it away for health considerations. They can't be sitting out all day, which makes sense. But you would think, okay, maybe this food is getting harvested from local farmers.
Yeah, every time I got my fish taco, I was like, that came from that ocean that I am looking at, right?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now, that is definitely some of the local stuff, and I assumed.
It very well might have been, but more likely, it's not coming from local farms. It's what? coming from a cheaper source and shipped in.
Like any other.
Same thing with building supplies, builders, like however they can get the labor the cheapest and the supplies the cheapest, that's how they'll do it. And what that is known as is export leakage. So as I was saying earlier, and one of the other examples of export leakage is just simply that they are multinational companies. It's not a Mexican-run company.
Leakage of money to these other countries, which is probably like Canada, America, France, these wealthy countries.
Right.
The leakage of the money from Mexico to these affluent countries because they own the companies.
Right.
Lord above capitalism. The big okay.
So then there are the environmental concerns. So construction of tourism infrastructure, such as building beaches.
Building beaches.
Building.
The beaches aren't natural.
Well, in some cases, like I was just thinking about this as I was watching Survivor, just how like, do you know what I mean? Like how the forest often like is right in line with the beach. Like there's often a small beach, but if you think of the beaches that you're
on,
they're
huge.
The big, long beaches that accommodate like thousands of people. Like often you have to construct that. Often you have to bring in sand. Often you have to like remove wildlife, remove trees, and often removing people. For example, in Haiti, a controversial development at Île Vache, I think that's how that's pronounced.
I believe it's Île Vache.
Île Vache has displaced 10 to 15,000 locals in a bid to build 1,000 rooms for tourists.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I see. Like, because it's like beachfront property. People would have lived there at some point, but that's valuable to tourism, and that's where the money's going to be made.
Yeah, you want that prime view. You want to be right on the beach. And that's not always just right there. Unencumbered. Sometimes you just have to remove things. So then once it is constructed, once it is built, tourism can also place a huge burden on energy supplies, waste disposal, and clean water. I was reading a blog of one woman who lived in the Dominican Republic, and she said that her hours of power would be 6 hours on in the morning, then off, and then 6 hours on again at night so that the resorts could go uninterrupted.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Yeah, because it is the whole point of going to a resort is so you can live like home, even better than home, but somewhere else in the warmth by a beach. But those are going to be not necessarily countries that are developed like home.
Right. You're on vacation. Vacation is about indulging. So it's like your lifetime's.
So these people are literally sacrificing their own power so that these other people can fly in and use the power. Oh, my God, I feel sick. Okay,
and then,
I need to
I'm sorry.
I'm like, it started real good. I was like, oops, I got duped like that. I'm going to go right back
on a
plane.
The room is getting smaller.
Oh, my
Greg
gosh.
Is getting dizzy. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Wait. No, I am obviously fine. I'm just so mad I didn't tip. But on top of that, okay. So, yeah, that makes sense. So, power-wise, environment. So, like, environmentally, financially, there's not that many good things, except for job creation.
Right. And the way you're saying that what we use as tourists is so much more significant than people who live there. Water use by guests.
Yeah. You relax. You have long showers.
Right.
You get in the jacuzzi.
How much more do you think it is than a local person on average?
Oh, my God. I mean, at the rate we're going, I mean, I'm sure it's a lot. How many times
more?
Like, 5 times more.
It's 16 times more.
16 times more
of
what?
The water usage that you would use per day when you're at a resort versus what someone who lives there would use.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. Oh,
gosh.
And okay. You know what? It doesn't, to be honest, it really doesn't surprise a lot of people. In a survey of 1,700 people, they found that 55% of participants did believe that all-inclusive holidays
have a
negative impact.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Like, I mean, again, it's like, I could only have assumed that things were bad. That's kind of the vibe you get when you get there. You're like, how can this be so perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's like almost with anything in life. When things feel really perfect, it's like, you got to go ding, ding. Like, let's be a little skeptical here. And as we talked earlier, it's like, turning that off is what makes you enjoy it.
Right.
But the truth does seem to be that you should be skeptical of all-inclusives. And you should be, I don't know. Companies need to figure out how to make it better for local people.
Well,
that's something that should happen.
The way we're talking, like, right now, if things do come down to markets, and if 55% of people think that the resort they're going to actually isn't good for the local economy, I feel like people will have a better time and be more willing to go of that percentage of people if you actually build something that is ethical. And the United Nations World Tourism Organization has actually created a code of ethics that resorts can follow to commit to local communities and to reinvest into the host destination. So there are these guidelines that exist, and I feel like there really is an untapped market for this that has huge potential.
As you said earlier, there's more and more people are going to be traveling in the future, obviously. That's going to happen. There's going to be more people on this planet. You know, there's going to, the 1% is going to grow or whatever. I mean, that's a different story, wealth inequality. But people are going to travel.
Right.
So these businesses are probably thriving. They're going to come into new uncharted territory. That is good that there are guidelines. And then I guess it's up to the consumer, like in many ways, to be knowledgeable and to try and figure out how maybe to make a choice based on how the local communities are being affected. That would probably be the best thing you can do as a consumer. But that goes against every single thing that people talk about on that plane, which is how much did you get this all-inclusive for? What's your price? How long are you staying here? What deal did you get on Expedia? That's not the way you even buy into this type of excursion.
Right.
But it's not maybe the way that we should be looking at it. So hopefully people listening to this can take that into consideration when they're going on an all-inclusive and knowing that it's a very inexpensive way to travel that maybe paying the extra cost for something better could be good. Who knows?
And also, for people who are listening to this who have that all-inclusive vacation booked and now are like,
what do I do? Leave the resort? Support local economies
in
that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Please leave the resort. Shop at local stores.
You
buy local souvenirs.
Go on Yelp. Yeah.
Go on a local tour. Go to local restaurants.
Tip your friggin' staff. Oh, my Lord above. Okay.
And something else interesting I thought about that I read about was, so say you're getting a cab ride. Pay the price. Don't try and haggle for a lower price.
Yeah.
But then don't say if it's a $5 cab ride. Don't give $20. You think you might be helping, but then for the local people, it raises the price that they will be unable to use the service.
Yeah. So follow the guidelines. Don't try and undercut them. But you know.
So I've been to an all-inclusive. You've been to an all-inclusive. Clearly, so many people go. Things can change. Look for organizations all-inclusives that are doing those good changes. And then if they aren't, do those changes yourself.
We'll be right back. All right, before we jump back in, we want to know what you're thinking. Have you gone to an all-inclusive? Do you love them or do you hate them? Does your boyfriend throw you under the bus the way mine does? No? Okay. Thanks, Craig. But seriously, you can tweet us by using the hashtag SideNotePodcast, or you can even tweet us directly at Mitchell Moffitt, at WhaleWatchMePLZ. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are and whether you've changed your opinions on this now that you've heard a little bit more information. We still have the next segment to come in which Craig and I are going to fight to the death. Not seriously, but seriously, we are very opinionated people and often oppositely opinionated. So we'll get into that. One of us will die in the death match, and you can let us know who won. That's actually more fun if you hashtag sign up podcast. So it's like, who won every week in the debate? So we'll get back to it right now. But thank you guys as always. Okay, Greg, so we had our very first all-inclusive experience, but now we have had some time to percolate on it. What's your takeaway? What do you think about all-inclusives?
I guess I would say my takeaway was that if I could, and I did, go into the situation and take my thinking hat off, my critical hat off, which is hard for me. I'm like a critical person. I was able to come around to accepting, like, I'm here to relax. And it did create a day where I was like, I'm going to read a full book in a day. And we actually like got in a bit of a fight because I think...
Oh, that was a different level of a fight.
No, well, you were saying that I was ignoring you, but I was like, I'm here to read right now because I'm like, I honestly, I don't have it in me to just enjoy lying by a pool, chatting to Kathy or doing nothing. Like, if I'm going to lie by a pool, I'm going to want to read, which I really enjoyed. I'm going to want to like think and like work on things in my head, a little bit of work. Like, that was enjoyable to me because I don't find the time to do that. But I honestly, I would not say that I enjoyed it in the way that I would have if I would have had a bit of that and then been able to also go to another part of Mexico and learn about Mexico. There's a strong part of me that felt very... like, all-inclusive, like, it's not inclusive. Like, it was like, I got to Mexico, and everyone was American, everyone was Canadian, and everyone had, and it even created within me this expectation. Like, you even said it on the last day. You were like, well, it'd be nice to get some water right now. Like, because you wanted water, and there was no water beside you. And it wasn't like, oh, okay, go get some water. And I was I came home and was like, I have to make my own dinner. Like, I genuinely was like, that's disgusting. Like, I felt I'm telling you how I feel. It's true. I was frustrated that I had to make dinner. Like, I felt when I got home that it was harder to get back into the routine.
You did
make dinner. Exactly. I'm telling you, I didn't. Like, when I come home from a trip where I've explored like a culture and I've, you know, maybe actually gone to a country and tried my best to learn about it, I come home maybe less relaxed, maybe more tired, but I come home with like a rejuvenated feeling within me. Sometimes I'm even like, oh my God, I'm so happy to sleep in my own bed. I'm so happy to have like, you know, comfortable food that I know is safe or that I know is like my, like, it's almost like I come home with a new appreciation for my life. Whereas there I found I came home sort of like, I felt a little bit more like lazy and tired, but I was also really happy with how I'd like read a book and how I'd like felt rejuvenated, but in like a different way.
Post-vacation blues is a real thing. Combine that with the stress from the mountain of work you have to come back to, plus the jet lag, and you might need a vacation to recover from your vacation. The reason for this is partly due to the contrast effect. The contrast effect is where your brain has to adjust between two very different experiences. When your brain compares the amped up expectations of the holiday to the less exciting post-vacation routine, your brain becomes a little bit dramatic and thinks everything has gone to hell. It isn't that bad. It just feels that way in contrast. So what do we do to combat this? Here are three tips to beating the blues. Tip number one, pack your future with exciting activities and new goals. Like, if your future is filled with learning how to tap dance or mastering Russian, Drosvaji, Kukadudamayish, that's how you say, hi, how are you in Russian, or so I have been told. I'm not really sure. I've never fact-checked it. I'm sorry. Anyway, if you fill your post-vacation with new experiences, the negative contrast will be diminished. Second tip, get planning your next vacay. A study published in 2010 found that simply planning a trip can lead to increased feelings of happiness. Final tip, close your eyes. Think of the most delicious meal you had on holiday. Got it? Okay, now get in the kitchen and start cooking. Research has found that food and memory are highly linked, so if you want to honor the place you visited, you can do so by perfecting your fave cuisine. And if you aren't America's next top home chef, you can also seek out restaurants of that culture. So, follow these tips and getting back to reality will be as breezy as the warm winds of Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I don't want to throw too much shade at you, but I don't think all-inclusives are for you. I don't even know if, like, super relaxing vacations are for you. Would you disagree with that?
There's something about, like, I think that for me, it's like, I do love to relax, but I want to like earn it first. Like, it's true. It's like,
earned it. We literally were like having a whole work week while we were on the road. We were exhausted. We had pushed ourselves so hard. Like, if ever we had deserved it, that was the time we deserved it.
But then I would have rather had my time in LA to relax. Like, for me, it was like the idea of going to a culture, a different country, and literally, like, it felt exploitative. Like, I didn't feel...
But- Like, yeah, no, that's
if
fair.
If someone comes to Canada, if a tourist I find out comes to Canada on the street, I feel so excited to be like, oh my God, okay, check out this restaurant. You need to go to this neighborhood. I want you to enjoy my city. I want you to enjoy my
but
culture.
That's but different. Going to a city is different than, like, some people might come to Canada to go snowboarding, to go skiing. They might just stay at a resort in Canada that is, like, during the winter, gives them the opportunity to just experience one aspect. We go, I don't know where the accent came from. We went to Mexico because of the weather. Like, we're coming from Canadian winter. And I agree. Like, I think it's a beautiful thing to go to a country and appreciate their culture and appreciate the different things they have to offer and their language. But that's not what we went for.
Yeah, so I guess
and
it's
if
like
Canada had a
to that.
Spot where in the middle of winter it was actually beautiful summer, we would have gone there.
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's like it's hard because you're going to another country and in a bit of a way it's like it might feel exploitative, but at the end of the day you're going because you just want to be in that weather and have that experience of putting on suntan lotion, getting your vitamin D, like that rejuvenating experience that you just actually can't get where you live at the time because it's winter.
Yeah.
Hold up. We all know we want the D, and in recent years, the popularity of vitamin D pills has skyrocketed. But how much is actually necessary? Should those of us in colder climates with less sunlight be making a bigger effort to get out into the sun or even start popping pills? As much as I love, love, love vitamin D and think its effects on the body are super cool, there is still quite a bit of controversy around the subject of supplementation. Most agree that vitamin D is incredibly important in humans, and some studies even linked it to reducing cancer, bone fractures, and even helping the elderly fall less. And there is evidence that vitamin D deficiency is problematic. But, and this is a big but, the majority of the population is actually already getting enough from a combination of foods like fish, cheese, egg yolks, and UV light from our sun on your skin. Around 97.5% of people in North America hit the recommended benchmark. Even when it comes to the winter blues, modern research says, there isn't much evidence here. You really don't need to worry about it. However, there are some key populations at a higher risk, like if you have darker pigmentation, or if you're an older person living in a nursing home, a melanoma patient, or people who can't absorb the vitamin because of a disease. So while it's great to soak up the sun while you can, as long as you're being cautious about burning too, and eat vitamin D-rich foods, the idea of supplementation really isn't strongly supported by evidence for the general public. At least, not for now.
So then I guess it's like, it is like with all traveling, it is just like, it's such a privilege. It's a privilege
oh,
to be able
sure.
to choose
yeah.
that, like, oh, I'm kind of cold,
leave
I'm
my
gonna
country.
Go leave my country yeah. and like be in a warm area and still maintain the comfort. Like, it kind of shows the power of like colonialism and like literally mm-hmm. like white privilege that I can actually go to an institution in Mexico and feel no discomfort at
right.
all.
Right. You don't like, feel unsafe.
Yeah,
you don't
feel
unsafe.
It's
uncomfortable.
Like, in fact, I'm going to surround myself with white people who are just like me, who literally just like, you know, remind me of my parents. Like, that to me is like then something that, again, as a critical person, it was just hard for me to not constantly be thinking about that. And then what bothered me the most was the way that it made me feel, and like that water comment on your half, where I was like, what is such a privilege becomes an expectation very quickly at an mm-hmm. all-inclusive. It's like, I paid my money to have everything here for me that, like, when it's not, you're like, well, and what did I pay my money for? And it's just like, to me, that was like kind of like a really shitty attitude to have in life that, like, you're kind of, you fall into when you're there.
I think, yeah, but I think that also falls more into people who are just assholes to begin with, right? Like, I think that will come out of the, there were some people there that it was clear, like, their expectation was like, all these employees are here to serve me and I don't need to show them any respect, or I don't really need to engage with them. They're just here to give me my drink, to give me my water. But there were also people there who were obviously very nice and wanted to engage with the employees and wanted to like chat with them and were giving them tips because they probably felt like appreciative that they were putting all their time into just like waiting on us.
Yeah. And it is like,
so there's a mix of people.
And there's
I
a
think,
culture too. Like, there's a culture around all inclusives, which is so weird. Like, it's true. I was definitely like, even
oh,
sometimes
we didn't know. Yeah. It's like, what is the relationship between like extra tipping and money. This is our first time.
Or even like, I would just like ask questions about like what was happening around us. And literally people would look at me blankly like, what do you mean? Like, you more mean like, when's cocktail hour? Right. Like, no one even wanted to like have discussions outside of like Trump, Trudeau. And then like, literally, what are they going to do in the next hour? Like, are they going to drink a pina colada or a margarita?
Right. I think more close to because my family would like drive down to Florida every year or every other year and have that experience where it, you know, you don't have to worry as much about exploitation because you're in a country that's very affluent. You're in a place where you're not.
Well, I don't know. I would argue that about Florida and America.
Fair. But we were going to Florida for the weather. Whereas when I, not that I would turn it around the other way. Like, I don't believe us going to Mexico gives us the permission to say like, well, no, we don't have to appreciate their culture. Like, that is the part that gets to me.
But that is what you do when you go to an all-inclusive. You're subscribing to that permission to not have to worry about their culture.
I guess, but you also are literally boxed in to an all-inclusive resort.
Like, I know.
You're not being that intrusive into their culture. It's one thing if you went downtown or into a city and then you were like, you must speak English. Like, why are you not speaking my language? Why are you not making me feel comfortable? But the money's coming into their economy, but it's literally like, and here's like the house you stay at and you don't leave.
I know. There was
Smart. It's like, we don't want to deal with this like North American bullshit tourist.
Let's lock them over here.
We're just gonna like give them a place, take their money, and then like they can stay there and not have to deal with like.
You're right. Like, maybe it's just like not for me, but I subscribe to it. I really did enjoy it. I did find that I was able to relax, but I mean, it's a hard place to be and really like fully subscribe to it. Without thinking, like, there's something so off about this that I showed my passport and came here. It was like, it was honestly, that was just like the hardest part for me. But honestly, if you can do it and you can make your brain get away from that, which I did within like the first 4 hours, I was like, Greg, come on, this is not what you're here for. Like, it was great. I was able to relax. I really was. And only sometimes I just felt like a little bit exhausted when I was like, found myself getting in a bad mood if something wasn't like perfect. So these feelings were likely very true, and these feelings were also rooted in the psychology of disappointment, which involves experiencing sadness due to unfulfilled hopes or unfulfilled expectations. When you arrive at an all-inclusive, your hopes and expectations are high. You've paid the money to have everything be easy and relaxing, so when they aren't, you are more easily disappointed. Before the age of 7, psychologists have studied that we think our expectations can literally make things come true. And in many ways, we don't fully grow out of this. Like, when I showed up, I expected to be chilled out, fed margaritas by the pool, and sigh in profound relaxation all the time. But when my skin began to burn, and I needed to get up to get my own glass of fresh drinking water, I was way more annoyed than if it was any other normal situation. But on the other hand, if you can maintain a positive attitude towards expectations, it can lead to something called the placebo effect, which we've heard of a lot. For example, when I was served fresh orange juice in the morning in Mexico, I picture them plucking fresh oranges off the, you know, trees that I saw on the hills as we flew in on our airplane. It tasted like it was the best orange juice I'd had in years, but on the last day, I literally looked over and realized it was Tropicana. So these expectations can go both ways. They can, you know, make you feel disappointed, but if you have certain types of expectations, they can also create the placebo effect within you and make you actually enjoy something more. Give me one fact about Mexico you learned while you're there.
Puerto Vallarta.
Give me one.
How to say that word. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're right. I'm not disagreeing, but that's not like what that trip was for me. Right?
No, it is funny. I bet if someone was like, Greg, have you ever been to Mexico? I'd be like, no.
I'm like, the fact I learned was the airport code, PVR.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right.
And you're right. I actually wouldn't say I've been to Mexico now. I would, if someone literally asked, have you been to Mexico? I'd say, I've been to an all-inclusive one time in Puerto Vallarta.
Versus
if someone said, have you been to India? I'd be like, yeah. And I spent a month there and traveled and went to lots of different cities.
And felt like what it would be like to
live. And I could give a decent impression of what that was like for someone from Canada to go there. Whereas Mexico, I would never give advice on traveling to.
Okay, cool. Well, I don't know. We'd love to hear what you guys think about all-inclusives. I think this is actually like a pretty hot button topic.
Yeah.
Like, when we got back, the more I talked to people, they kind of look at me with these eyes and they go like, did you like it? Mm-hmm. And they all have their complaints. Mm-hmm. They all have their immediately look at me and they're like, you probably didn't like it because they know me.
Right. But there's also so many levels. Like, yeah. We've only been to one. So maybe there are great ones that find a good way to be inclusive and fun and
actually be
knows.
Inclusive. It's funny. It's like all inclusive. It's like,
but it ain't inclusive.
It ain't not inclusive.
It's exclusive.
Yeah. All inclusive, but exclusive.
But Oh, thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon about something else that's going to rock your boat like Aaliyah.
Woo! Okay, see you Peace. Later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.